pastors. Amen. We're thankful this morning to be here and to be in the house of the Lord and to be alive. This a new day, one we've never seen before, and we'll never see it again. But God has blessed us so far to see this a new day, and we should be thankful. Amen. If you're happy to be alive, say amen to you. If you're visiting with us, you're an honored guest of the audience, and we're thankful to have you in the audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. It's the only church you read about in the Bible. Jesus bled for it, died for it, shed his blood for it, wrote in the book about it. And we must obey him in order to become members of that Lord's church and to be saved. Amen. It's so good to know that God has given us the instruction book to tell us what we must do in order to prepare for eternal life. Amen. You want to be eternal life with God, and that you have to do that to obey. You have to obey him in order to do that. Today is the Lord's day. Amen. Amen. Let us rejoice and what? Be glad in it. But then the Bible do tell us to honor our father and mother. And today has been set aside by mankind to recognize mother, and it is a biblical honor. And God tells us to honor our father and our mother. And so our young people done some, I think they had muffins for mothers, with mothers this morning. And we're thankful for our youth. And we're teaching them to honor their mother. You don't get but one mother. I always told my kids that they've heard that over and over. You get one mama, and when she gone, you don't get another one. Amen. And for that reason, you should treasure your mother while you have her with you. And my mother told me that, and I know what that feels like now. She understood what she was teaching me. She was my instructor. She was my bosom. Even at the ages of eight, late ages of 50, I could lay my head in my mother's bosom, and I could feel the comfort for mama. So I have a dear place in my heart for my mother. I don't know about you, and I'm sure you do too. Unfortunately, there are some who don't care for their mother. That's a sad thing, not to care for your mother. Amen. So we're gonna recognize you again at the end of the service. Our young people got something for you, and so we want you to think, be thankful for your mama, and to give them the respect and honor that's due to them. Amen? All right. Chapter 11 of John is a great study. It's been the whole book of John has been good for me. Has it been good for you? Amen. It's been a good study. And today we're going to pick up in verse 17 where we left off. This is the very popular story in the Bible of the Lazarus who was raised from the dead. And today we're going to focus on the fact that when the master show up, things happen. The master is come. Let's pick up verse 17 just for the sake of getting us back into the main thought of the next portion of chapter 11. If you want to hear the first part, it was in the sermon before. Verse 17 says, Then when Jesus came,
he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already.
All right. Read them.
Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Mm-hmm. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother.
Right.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house.
Now notice Mary was in the house. Bringing us back to the scene. So Jesus has come. And Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Martha heard he was coming. Mary is still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus,
Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Now, Martha thinks Jesus is talking about the resurrection for all dead people. And I ran over this last week, so I want to go back to it briefly. Go to Matthew chapter 5, John 5, rather, in verse 28. John 5, 28. Because there are two resurrections that you will experience, one or the other. You won't experience both. But we will experience one or the other. In verse 28, he says this.
Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
He said, now everybody going to hear the voice. There's going to come a time when everyone will hear his voice.
And shall come forth they that have done good.
Resurrection number
unto
one.
Unto the resurrection of life.
One is called the resurrection of life. And those who have done good.
And they that have done evil.
Those who have done evil.
Unto the resurrection of damnation.
Now, everyone will hear his voice. But what we experience one or other of the resurrections. When he say good, he's talking about obedience. Only those who obey his voice during their life will experience the resurrection of life. That's eternal life, means you're okay. But those who have done evil are those who refuse to obey God. And they will experience what they call the resurrection of damnation. This is also known as the second death. Death, spiritual death, is when you're separated from God. Resurrection of damnation will be a damnation to those who did not obey God. And they will experience a second death. Now, I talked more about this last week. So Jesus makes it clear in verse 25 to her. He said, I am the resurrection. Verse 25 of chapter 11.
I am
the resurrection. He makes it clear to her. Now, I'm not talking about that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And
he that believeth in me,
though he were dead,
yet shall he live.
Now, see, he's saying the physical death is not the end of life for this person. Because he will still live. So he was talking about eternal life. And whosoever liveth and believeth
in me
shall never die. This emphasis I put last week is that eternal life is never dying. We look at physical death as the end, but physical death is not the end for the soul. And the soul will live on. But the soul is either damned or the soul will experience everlasting life with God. That's why we got a heaven and a hell. Now, we don't want to think about hell, but if you experience the resurrection of damnation, then that's where you're going. But you will be dead spiritually forever. But those who obey God will not die eternally. They will not have a spiritual death everlasting. So he's saying to her, they will never die spiritually. Now, then he asks her a question.
Believest thou this?
Yeah, that's going to come back here later. Now, so last week, what I was just emphasizing was that the fact that those of us who obey him are preparing for eternal life so that we never experience spiritual death eternally. So what we got to do, y'all, we got to obey God now while you're living in physical life in order to have, in the physical life, you have to have the born-again process in order to receive the Spirit of God. Then you have to obey God till the day you die. Now, let's go back to John 11, verse 27. Pick back up now.
She saith unto him.
Now, here's her response to him. It was this.
Yea, Lord.
Yes. Now, remember, he asked her, you believe this? He said, yea, Lord. And
I believe that thou art the Christ.
She said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
Which should come into the world.
She's making the statement that every one of us needs to make before we die. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All of us going to make that confession. But Jesus said in John, in Matthew 10, 32, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. So this confession she's making is one that all of us should make before we die. What is this confession stating? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, verse 28 is what we're picking up at.
And when she had so said, she went up her way.
Now, once she made that statement, she went away and she called Mary.
And called Mary her sister secretly.
Secretly.
Saying,
it's like you're whispering in her ear and said, Mary, the master is come. Now, so for those who were searching for my
thee.
Those who were searching for my sermon title this week, I had to read this. I had to read this over and over before I came up with what I was going to use for the sermon title. I thank all of you for participating. But I thought about this one. This is important to that whole scene. The master is come.
And calleth for thee.
My emphasis is on the master is come. This week I heard of some terrible news, tragic news. A friend of mine, a member of the Lord's church back in Arkansas, one of the preachers, he's 90 years old. His son murdered his girlfriend and committed suicide. Left a note, recorded it on video. And I'm saying to us, until the master come in our lives, tragedy is coming. And all of us need to take heed that that dark cloud is coming to our house. Just like my brother, who is grieving the loss of his son, Martha and Mary are grieving the loss of Lazarus. And every one of us need to get in our minds that we're not going to be here forever. And we need the master in our lives. Because when the master comes, he can make a difference that no one else can make in your life. Things happen for reasons. And I'm touched by that because in my friend's mind, it was the son that was okay. No one is okay without the Lord. And this is my warning to my children, to everyone else. And I say to them in the audience, but you're not okay without the Lord. You're never okay without the Lord. And there are people in this life that will live life as if they're okay. But until you let the master in your life, your marriage will not be better. Your home is not better. Your life is not better. Your relationships are not better. Your children are not okay. Your mama is not okay without Jesus in their life. No one is okay. But some of us live as if we're okay. By not obeying the Lord, not being baptized, not being in the church, not taking the Lord's Supper weekly, not loving one another. We're not okay. But my message this morning is that when the master comes, if you just let him in, he will make a difference in the life. He will have an impact on your life and on your family. Nobody's perfect. We know that. Lazarus wasn't perfect. Mary wasn't perfect. Martha wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But all of us should be able to say, I know the master come. I know the master is come. And she told her in her ear, she said, he calling for you. And I know this, the Lord is calling for us. And the Bible says, verse 29, as soon as she
heard that, she got up quickly. She arose quickly and came unto him.
And came to him. So you got to hear him call you first. And when you hear him call, he's calling, Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Who here this morning, not because your mama. You got to ask yourself, am I here because the Lord is calling me? You live life, you look at life, you look at mistakes, you can't undo them, you can't get forgiveness unless you come to God. People won't forgive you. God will. People remember. God forgets. What did he say? Your sins I remember no more. So if we want peace of mind, you got to go to the Lord. You can't get peace of mind from people. The Lord gives you peace. The Lord reconciles you. The Lord comes in your life and he calls and he stands there waiting to help us. He said, I stand at your door and knock. What are you saying, brother? Who's at the door? The master's come. He's at our door. He's knocking. I stand at your door and knock. What will be your response? Will it be hastily like Mary? Martha arose quickly. Some of us are going to die in our sins because we don't get up quick enough. You can extend the invitation over and over and over to folk. You need to be baptized. Jesus calling repeatedly over and over. They reject him. But there's there come a day when you won't be able to get up no more. You won't be able to rise no more to get this right with God. The master done come. So who this morning is this for that he's standing at your door? You're troubled, you're going through tragedy, you're traumatized, you're going through situations, you got life issues, you're in your closet, you're in your valley. What is it? So, brother, but what is the master? The master's come. He's standing there waiting. He's standing there to help. He's there. He's going to help Mary and help Martha because the dark cloud of death has come to their house. Now look at this. Watch what happens when the Lord comes into the scene. Now, leading people out. Now Jesus was not yet coming to the town.
But was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out.
So the people there are watching. What is she doing? Why is she jumping up? She goeth into the grave to weep there. She's mourning, so she's going back to the grave to weep.
Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at
Mary,
his feet, saying unto
down,
him,
Lord,
if thou hadst been here,
then she makes this
my brother had not died.
Of faith, but not absolute. Because she said, Lord, if you just been here. See, here's what she needs to know. And what we need, the Lord don't have to be standing in your bedroom at the hospital to help you. The Lord don't have to be. He's omnipresent. What that mean? That's a big word to say. He's everywhere at the same time. And that's why David said, get to what David says, Psalm 137, 39, and verse 7. David said that God is never too far to help. Notice what he says in Psalm 139 and verse 7.
Where shall I go from thy spirit?
He's asking God a question. Where am I going to go from you?
Or whether shall I flee from thy presence?
Is anywhere I can be not in the presence of God? Notice
if
it.
If I go up into heaven,
you there?
Thou art there.
If I take my bed in hell, behold, in the grave,
thou art there.
Are you there?
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall
God is over there too.
Me, and thy
even
right
there,
hand shall hold me.
If I say,
surely the darkness
I can hide by
me.
The darkness that
even
don't hide
the night
me from God.
Shall be light about
night
me.
Is like light today.
Yea,
God.
Darkness hideth not from thee.
But the night shineth as
the
day,
and the darkness, the light, are both alike to thee.
So it takes absolute faith. And absolute faith means God don't have to be in right there with you for you to see him, to believe he can make a difference in your life. This is what we operate by faith. We know this, that God is able to make a difference in our lives at all time, no matter what's going on or where we are. Amen. So see, Mary didn't have that type of faith. Sometimes we don't. Verse 33, let's go back there. I want to get to this other thought here. Jesus therefore saw her weeping also.
Weeping which came with her. And he groaned in the spirit and was troubled.
Now notice that. This is very interesting here. He groaned in the spirit and troubled. Then he said,
Where have you laid him?
Then they said to him.
They said unto him, Lord, come and see.
Come see where we laid him at. Now watch this. He said, now this is the shortest verse in the Bible, one of the most popular verses, famous verse. Jesus wept. Yeah. What's interesting? This word groaning in the Greek is not like, you know, like for us it'll be like, a sigh or a moaning or something like that. That's not what it means an expression of internal sorrow with indignation, which means he's not pleased. This is very interesting. Because when I read, I thought, oh, the Lord is he's groaning, groaning for Mary. There's something going on here. There's a strong indignation or a displeasure. I want you to get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to show you something. Now, I don't know exactly what it is, but here, if you look at the different scholars and what they talk about this verse and this groaning, this interesting fact that he was troubled, he was bothered by this whole scene, and at the scene he's looking at the girls crying and weeping, and then the Jews are weeping. It's a death scene. He's not at the grave. He know they're mourning the loss of Lazarus. And so I'm wondering if he was moaning or groaning because of the fact that they appeared to have no hope. Let's listen to the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See people, when they lose loved ones, this is the way they react.
But I would not have you to be ignorant,
Paul said, now,
brethren.
So we don't, and then this is for Christians. This is not for people who are not in the Lord's kingdom.
That's right.
This is not for people who are not saying, you ought to be terrified. But he said,
I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.
Of this one thing.
Concerning them which are asleep.
You're talking about death.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
See, now he said that. So these people were sorrowing, and Martha and them were sorrowing as if they had no hope. Read.
For if we believe that Jesus
now,
died.
There it is right there. If we believe that Jesus died.
And rose again. Even so them also which
now,
sleep in
Jesus. We got to
believe
the people who sleep in the Lord. I mean, let me get that. If you die in the church, to die in the body is to die in the church. This is why you need to be in the church. To die in the body is to die in the church, and the body of Christ is the church of Christ, and the Lord is the head of the church. So you got to die in the church. You got to die in the Lord. Now, here's the those who die in the Lord. Now, this is the members of the church who are not faithful. You're not coming weekly. You're not taking communion. You're not in fellowship with God. You ain't going to die in the Lord like that. Those of you in this audience who've never been baptized, you're not going to die in the Lord. You're not going to die in the Lord now. Don't fool yourself to believe you're going to die in the Lord. You're not. And this is going to be a troubling time for you. Look what he says there. Listen what Paul says to him.
Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Them the only one going. Read.
For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
First class people will be people who die in the Lord.
Amen.
Now he's saying this. Listen to what the next verse says. Wherefore?
Then. We which are alive.
Those of us who are alive, our loved ones are gone.
And remain shall be caught up together.
We're going to be caught up together with them.
With them in the
our
cloud.
Our loved ones who died in the Lord.
With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
We're going together. Read.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
That's that resurrection life right there. Then he says,
comfort.
This is
wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Where the comfort comes. It's when my loved one died in the Lord. Make sense?
That's good reading.
So the indignation is what death can do to people. This is me thinking. After studying by 30 some years, I believe that the Lord knew what death was doing to these people. I've preached sermons where death can destroy, can tear down, can mentally break down folk where they don't know what to do. Been there, done that. Death took me to the deepest depression I've ever been in. But the Lord brought me out. Then Jesus' outward expression was weeping. I mean, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's what he understands. That's why he cried. What death had done to those folk. He wept. Why? Because Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's why we need the Lord to come. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I do know my life. I don't know nothing about your lives. But I know how life can bring into you sorrows and grief and tragedies and trauma, and it can bring into you sorrows and depression and oppression and suppression. Life is like that. Life throws curveballs. It throws it when you ain't expecting it. It'll come like a brick. It'll knock you down to your knees. And Jesus know how that feels. And he is there to rescue Martha and him. The master's come. So what are you going through in your life, man? I mean, you know, for me, it's like, you know, ministering to the church is a very difficult thing, because not only do you have to minister to the people, but you got to minister to yourself, man. Many times it's just me and God. Just me and him. You got to know why you in this, because folk will tear your heart apart. Life will bring you to your knees. All of us need the Lord. Am I trying to be passionate today? Absolutely I am. Why not? This was a very sad time for this family. It was a very difficult time for the family. And then Jesus walks up on the scene and he's troubled by it. I'm glad the master know me better than you. See, he didn't have to read. He didn't have to pray for him to come. He already knew what was going on, didn't he? How many of y'all got something going on in your life just you and God know about? Well, brother, what is the whole mess? The whole mess is that he's there. I stand at your door and knock, Tom. You got to open. Let me in there. You got to open. That's how I can help you. That's what Mary, she said, hey, the master's coming. He's calling you. He's calling for you. He's calling for you. Let's go to verse 36.
Then said the Jews, Behold, hey, look at how him. He loved him.
What's the indication of love crying? He was lying, crying. Some of them,
and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?
Man, if he could heal a blind man, he could have stopped this man from dying in the beginning. True, that's true. Jesus therefore again,
here it is again.
There,
that same word is again, same identical word.
Indignation. Response which shows a strong displeasure. At the time they were saying these things. Now he groans, he's displeased with this. And then watch now. If he's troubled by it, watch his response. Watch how he replies to her. He's sharp. Now, when people want to are troubled by something, they're going to have sharp responses. So Jesus got this sharp response. And it's like I'm visualizing, like he said, take away the stone. If I'm like, you're not comely, take away the stone. I'm troubled by what I'm seeing. I'm troubled. This is bothering me. This is displeasure. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him,
Lord,
so
by this saying, time, he stinketh.
You know, this guy been dead 4 days. He's stinking. She's thinking, hold on, what are you talking about? Move the stone back. See, so her belief. Now watch how Jesus said.
Jesus said unto her.
Sharp again.
Said, I not.
Did I not tell you?
That if thou wouldest believe.
Hold on, this is the indignation. Did I not tell you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I say this to you? Now go back to verse number 25. Listen what he had told her. And then he questioned her.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
See, I'm the resurrection and the life.
He that believeth in me,
if you believe in me,
though he were dead,
yet shall he live. Now he has said this to her. Read.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Then he questioned, did you believe what I just said? Now he gets down here. He's at the scene. And she said, hey, he said, move the stone back. She said, well, he stinks. He said, you didn't believe what I told you?
He had been dead 4 days.
If you believe what I told you earlier, then you know I'm getting ready to get him up. That's what he's saying. So he's bothered by this. He said, and if thou wouldest believe, I told you if you would believe, you would see something. You would see what? The glory.
Thou shouldest see the glory of God.
So, brother and sister, here's another point. We need to understand when the Lord says something one time, it's true. The first time he said, you don't have to have 10 different verses telling you the same thing for you to believe. Either you believe the Lord, you take the Lord and his word, or you don't. This is why some people are going to be lost because they don't take him. Jesus point blank tells people what to do to be saved. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that person said, well, I just don't think you have to be baptized. That's your problem. Your problem, you think too much rather than listening to what the Lord has told you. He said, he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. He don't have to say that 10 times for it to be the truth. Amen, somebody. Now, it is a matter of believing God and taking him at his word when he say this. Notice this. Notice God cannot lie. He ain't going to go back on no promises. If he promised a heaven, you'll get it. By the way, he said he promised it. If he promised a hell, you'll get that one too. He's not going to change. He done made the statement. When the master come, my question to you all is, what will he say to us? What will he say to you? What will he say to you? Did I not tell you to be baptized? Did I not tell you to be faithful unto death? Did I not tell you? This you do in remembrance of me. Did I not tell you? What is it? You didn't believe me? Did I not tell you I was coming back? Said I not unto you that I'm going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel? Did I not tell you there will be two resurrections, life and damnation? Did I not tell you I was going to build my church? Did I not tell you it wasn't going to be but one church? Did I not tell you that the saved are in the one church? What is he going to say to America? Did I not tell you? What are you going to say to the denomination of preachers? Did I not tell you? If any man add unto the words of the prophecy of my book, I'll add to you plagues written in this book. Did I not tell you should be no divisions among you? That knocks out denomination. Did we not hear him? Did I not tell you neither there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might. Did I not tell you? What are we going to say? Y'all, we didn't know. Now, what are the Church of Christ folk going to say? What are we going to say? We didn't know about the church? What are we going to say? We didn't know we were supposed to be faithful? We didn't supposed to give right? We weren't supposed to take communion weekly? What are we going to say, y'all? What will he say to us? Did I not tell you? Amen. Ain't a lot of amens on Mother's Day, is it? Maybe because we ain't talking about mamas. We talking about what the Lord can do when he comes. He said, Martha, I told you. Y'all, ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. He had to set Sarah straight on this matter back in the Old Testament. We don't have time to go there. Abraham and Sarah, he told he's going to have a baby in the old age. He said, Sarah laughed. And she thought within herself that God didn't hear and God didn't ask questions. He said, Sarah, what you laughing about? Genesis 18. You don't have to go there. And she said, I didn't laugh. You can't lie to God. You can lie to me. You can't lie to God. You're thinking. He said, is anything too hard for God, Sarah? She had a baby at her old age. And Jesus at one time said, with me and nothing is possible. But with God, they don't know what y'all going through in your life, but I know this, with God, all things are possible. We can do this. We can make it, right? If we got God on our side. Verse 41, they took away the stone.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Mm-hmm. And I knew that thou heareth me always. Mm-hmm. But because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Jesus always had an open line of communication to God through prayer. But for us, sin can separate us. That's a hard thing for people to believe, that God will not hear your prayer. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin can separate you to God, he will not hear, he says. You know, you can tell people that in the VIP class, that God said he will not hear. You say, well, I know God heard my prayer. Well, then you don't need a Bible. Write your own Bible. But if you're going to believe this one, you got to believe that sin can separate you to God, that he will not hear your prayer. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm not praying because I know you don't hear me. I'm praying because I want the people to hear me. He's doing it for the people that are looking on. Notice this. And when he had just spoken, he cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come forth.
Now, Brother Marshall Keeper say he called him by a name, because if he hadn't called him by a name, everybody in the graveyard would have got up. That's the power he had, Brother Keeper said. Brother Keeper said he had the power to get all of them up. He had to call Larry. He's the only one he wanted to get up. And then here's the part he said. Then he came forth
and he bound that was hand, dead came foot, forth, grave clothes. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go.
Now here's the thing about it. The master's come. He said, loose him and let him go. It's only when you let the master come in your life that he can loose you. No doubt in my mind that there are some in this audience today that are spiritually dead and need to be loosed. Loose from sin. Loose from your situation. God can loose you. He can loose you. So my question is, why don't you just let the master in your life so he can loose you? He'll loose you from your situation. He loose you by being baptized. He can loose you by coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned. I confess my sin. That's for members of the Lord's church. For the visitor, you got to be baptized to be loose from sin. Amen. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. For the forgiveness of sin. You can't come in here and say, I'm a member of the church. I'm a member of the church. I just want to join the church. No, you got to be loosed. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got to be baptized for the remission of sin. So I'm saying the master's come and he want to loose you. The rest of this chapter is all about the response of those who there. That's what I'm going to stop. Loose you. The people who were standing there that day saw something. They saw a miracle. And the miracle they saw was that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm saying today, y'all, the master is come. He came to take away the sins of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son came to this world to give you freedom. He came to this world to loose us from sin. But in order to loose us, when the master came, the master had to go through sorrow. He had to go through grief. He had to be hung on the old cross. He had to be nailed to the cross. He had to suffer. He had to hang 6 hours in agony and pain. And he would hang. The master came to hang the entire 6 hours, not a minute less. He stayed the whole time period on that cross because the master had come. He came to do what he was supposed to do, and that was to bring us all together in one body, the church. He came to shed his blood that will purchase the church of Christ. And I'll never stop preaching that because that's why the master came. He came to purchase the church. He came to shed the blood that will wash our sins away, Revelation 1:5. The blood of Christ, when we step in baptism, it's the blood in there. It's blood in that water. You step in there believing Christ is in the water. You believe his blood is in the water. You believe the cleansing power is in the water. And that's why the master came. And the master said it one time, and that's enough. He said, go teach all nations, baptize them. That's what he said, Matthew 28:18. Preach the gospel to all the creatures in the world. He that believe in is baptized shall be saved. It's a shame when a preacher tries to take baptism out of what the master said. The master done come. He came to save us. He came to loose us. He's come to save us. He's come to give us second chances. He came to help us escape eternal death, the second death. He came to give us peace. He came to help us deal with death when it comes to our family without sorrow to the point to where we grieve like the people of the world as if we have no hope. That's why I want all my family in the Lord, don't you? The greatest thing a mother could do for her children is to be in the Lord. What mother wouldn't lead her children to the Lord? I mean, that should tug on a mama's heart, that you should lead your children to the Lord. But if mama won't obey God, what are the children going to do? And some of you children, if you don't obey God, maybe you obey God, mama might obey God. But you got to come to God for yourself. And the master comes and I'll stand at the door and knock. If you're open, I'll come in and sup with you. And he hung on that cross 6 hours. He suffered, bled, and died. They pierced him in the side. Came blood and water came out. And they took him down and buried him in the borrowed tomb. He rose Sunday morning on the first day of the week with power. And he said, now, go tell them what to do. And that's what I've told you today. Master's come. What's the lesson title? The master's come. He's coming back, though. And the next time he comes, he's coming back as judge. Coming back as judge. Man on his deathbed, terminally ill, talks to the doctor. Knew the doctor was a so-called Christian. He said to the doctor, he said, nothing else we can do for you. I'm sorry. He informed you that. And there's nothing else we do. He was terminally ill. And so the doctor said, you have any questions for me? And the man said, no, sir, I don't have any questions. And the doctor got ready to leave. And the patient asked, he said, doc, I do have a question. He said, what is it? He said, you're a Christian, right? He said, yeah. He said, what's on the other side of death? And Doc said, I don't know. And so the doctor getting ready to walk out, and he heard some scratching on the door. And he turned around, and he went back and told the man, he said, you hear that scratching? He said, yes, sir. He said, that's my dog. You know what my dog know? That his master's on the other side of the door. I ain't been there. I ain't seen none of that stuff. But I want to die believing that my master is on the other side. And what I want you to do today, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, understand the master is on the other side. But the master came so you can come. He's calling you like he did Mary. I call you. I'm coming to you. I come unto me. I'm standing at your door and knock. If you will answer, I'll come in. And you answer by hearing that he died and buried. His death, burial, and resurrection story is called the gospel. The suffering on the cross, it has to be preached to you. You have to believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to repent of your sins in your mind. Say, you know what? I can't leave. The master is calling. I got to go to him. And you come today, and we'll ask you in front of this audience, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you have to do like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, and he stated, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you make that statement for these people, Jesus said, I confess you before my Father. You confess me before men. You do that, we'll baptize you this morning. We got the clothes, we got the men going to baptize you. We got something for your hair, we got you ready. But can you hear your Jesus calling? I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. If you can hear him calling, those who come, those who never been baptized, not members of the Church of Christ, you need to come. Those who baptized before, but not in the one church, he said it one time. You don't have to say it too. The one-time baptism is the one time it puts you in the true church. The wrong baptism, if you ended up in the wrong church, you didn't get the right baptism. There's one baptism, one Lord, one faith. And then those of us who are in the Lord, the Master's come. He's coming. He's come to get us, to restore us. And you come by saying, you know, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come back to the Lord today. You can do that. You can repent. You can ask God to forgive you, restore to his body, restore to his kingdom, and you will die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in his church. You want to do that? You want to come? The master's come, but the question is, will you come? As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.